I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 28. And we journey back in time in NASCAR, Christian, to a time when there was no pit lane speed limits, no restrictor plates. And we go back to 1980, Daytona 500, the number 28, Grey Ghost of Rainier Racing, driven by Buddy Baker, and crew chief by Waddell Wilson.
All right.
Beautiful car. Oldsmobile. Only, you know, only, if, you know, Nate was here for this, you know?
He's the one
missing
out.
He's on assignment. I know. He's on assignment. I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row that I've gone NASCAR for him, and he hasn't been here.
Yep. Well, you know, this is the highlight. I think this section of NASCAR right now of just opening the title.
But yeah, this actually was the highlight because I forgot about this car. I remember this car racing, and it was awesome because it had, you know, great picture of Buddy Baker up on the bank and half face helmet, goggles, no driver gloves. Man's man. Friggin' side pipes hanging out the door. Awesome. Oh, we'll never go back to that. Those fun times. All right. On tonight's episode, we'll touch briefly on NASCAR. We're at Worldwide Technology Raceway this weekend. And it was not the most enjoyable race. We'll talk briefly about that. We will talk F1. Mm-hmm. Warm. Talk about McLaren. And we will touch on the Lone Star Le Mans 2025.
Yes.
A wild race.
Yeah. I might need to dig up some pictures from when we went to for the post.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was, it was just that wet.
The first year? Oh yeah, it did rain. The wet race when they ran into the night.
Yes. That would have been year two.
Two.
That we went. So.
Because year one, the wet race was on
Sunday.
Sunday, and the IMSA race was on Saturday.
Yeah.
This was Thursday, Friday. There was all sorts of racing and qualifying for both IMSA. And then IMSA ran earlier in the day, and then WEC ran. They went into the night. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's when we stayed at the airport hotel.
Yeah.
With all that Porsche people. Mm-hmm. That's right. Forgot about that. Anyways, all right. Let's delve into it. Denny Hamlin takes the win for himself and 23XI, who will soon be out of business based on these court hearings. So, well, good on him. Chase Briscoe was second. Chase Elliott was third. Oh, that's interesting. Chase Briscoe, Chase Elliott. That's pretty cool. Blaney was fourth. Logano was fifth. Christopher Bell, Darrell Wallace, Christopher Buescher, and Ty Gibbs round out your top 10. And let's move on to the where we are in the playoff standings. the dumbest thing in sports in racing.
Yep.
All right. Here's how they stack up. Denny Chapoint leader. Chase Briscoe is second. Larson third. Darrell Wallace is fourth. Blaney fifth. Byron sixth. Tyler Reddick seventh. Christopher Bell is eighth. Chase Elliott ninth. In the number nine. That's pretty good. I like that. That's symmetrical. Logano, Chastain, and Cindric are your top 12. However, the four below the cutoff line are Austin Dillon, Shane Van Gisbergen, Alex Bowman, and Josh Berry. Those guys need some mega stuff to go on this weekend. All right, to move on.
Yeah, especially SVG.
SVG, right. Well, anyways, kind of knew that was going to happen. But anyways, just proves how dumb this thing is.
Well, I thought he was going to have enough of a buffer. Yeah, in the first round to make it to the second one, but
you don't. You don't, but it's also the dumbest thing in any kind of sporting format.
Well, because technically he finished second in the regular season championship, and that just doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting. All right, as noted. We're on to Bristol in a night race, which is always fun, Saturday night under the lights. And the aptly named Bass Pro Shops Night Race. It's original.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's move on to, should we do WEC first and then come back to Formula One?
Sure.
Okay. As you mentioned, this was a wild race, and the only reason I'm going to say it's wild is because of the weather.
Yeah,
it was 6 hours and change
mm-hmm.
because they had a red flag and stuff. Started under, it was awesome though. They made the decision to leave the starting grid, and that was the beginning of the race.
Yeah,
which was good.
Right.
Because the clock started on the bronze drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they ran through the rain and stuff. I don't know if you want to add some stuff to what you saw, because I was diving in and out of the race.
I was traveling while that was going on, so I just caught up with the race recap. But I was able to check in with like an hour or two to go. But at that point,
yep.
I saw it had rained, and I had no idea what had happened all before, and then even later on to be where they were. But the rain had just so much chaos with all the drivers.
Yes,
and. It's not to say that, like, oh, well, they should have red flagged the session, because they did to a point. But I have to give them credit, because at least they went racing in the rain.
Yes.
And
yeah, unlike Formula One.
Right. And I get it. It's challenging, and it makes every professional look like an amateur. But these are the hardest conditions that you would ever put a driver in to mm-hmm. begin with. And, I mean, even... on the in some of the early formation laps, one of the Porsches,
or safety car laps, yeah,
one of the Porsches just looped it going over the curb
at
a slow speed. So it's difficult for sure, and you need to be careful of where you're putting the car. But that's just true at any point over the course of the race. There was one incident with the Toyota hypercar and the Corvette GT3 car,
yeah,
through the S's, where the Toyota pretty much just pinched the Corvette, and it's like, you can be upset that you got hit, but like, man, you cannot. You really got to be careful how close you're leaning on guys in those conditions, because any slight lockup, you're touching each other. And the broadcasters seem to be getting a little emotional when, like, the Ford and the Ferrari in the GT3 class were banging wheels and whatnot at one point. Or, I'm sorry, maybe not the Ferrari, but the...
No. The Ford and the Ferrari did towards the end of the race. The Ford and the McLaren did.
Yes.
No,
it was the
Ford. And I thought it was...
It was the Ford and the McLaren earlier on in the race, though. And
I thought it was all hard racing.
Exactly. I was on that point because, I mean, yeah, if these guys want to slam each other and take each other out, like, that's totally one other thing. And, like, if you do it, it's pretty blatantly obvious when you do it because the other guy is going spinning off to no end.
Yep.
But all that door banging stuff, like, it's fine, especially in these conditions where, like, you got to give each other kind of a break. And they were going back and forth between each other, trying to squeeze one to the inside and use all the road when possible, or put each other in a tough spot to back out. So I mean, it's all mind games at the end of the day, in how you want to go about it. So, anyways, like when it was all said and done, the race came down literally to the last couple laps, and you had like three or four manufacturers in the top five for GT3, and three different manufacturers in hypercar for the top five as well. But GT3 was top three, were all within 5 seconds of each other. Unfortunately, the Ferrari got dinged with a 5 second penalty for contact with the Ford at the end of the race.
I did think that, and it was kind of an aggressive move by the Ferrari.
Yeah, it was forceful for sure. But and I had to agree with the broadcast team where, like, he had the pace. He didn't need to make the move then. He could have just waited a straightaway, and he would have had it done. So that was unfortunate on their end, but they ended up coming away third in the end, and that left the McLaren to take the victory in GT3.
Yep. GT3.
In hypercar, Porsche ended up taking the win in the end, and it was after
it
kind of an uphill battle, throughout the race for them. So good on them. And it was a great move for the lead as well. It was a little touchy, but I mean you can make some slight bit of contact in these sports cars, so I think unfortunately just the Ferrari just got caught a little bit too much on the front end of the Porsche and had its tire cut down. Which I thought there would have been a penalty for that, but I mean, it seemed like each of them were leaning on each other pretty good. So,
right. Yeah.
But it's always tough judgment calls at the end of the day for that stuff.
I really found that race to be I entertaining, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what I want. I'm going to say this. There was actually a crowd there.
Yeah.
Joking. I mean, it wasn't like Formula One.
No.
You know, packed. But there was a crowd there.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, I will say this. It's a great, outside of them going to either Watkins Glen or Road America, I think the WEC cars put on a great show down there. Well, you know, and I also thought the Grand Am, I mean, IMSA cars did too. So it was good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think IMSA and WC, if they could do a double weekend.
I think and that's Super Sebring, I get it. It was, had they figured out a way to use the main pit area for the wet cars, and so IMSA and WEC could share. But then it's like, oh, WEC, we don't use, they have the wall. And
Whatever. I mean, COTA definitely fits, the show.
Yeah, because it's FIA.
Yeah, that they want to put on for them. But, I mean, realistically, I mean, like, those cars at any of the IMSA tracks would be great. Which ones?
I don't know, I don't know about a WEC race that, not 100% certain about a WEC race that, at Laguna.
No?
Do you think it would be all right?
I think the questionable one would be any of the street courses. Long Beach, you can't do because of IndyCar, but Detroit, that's off the calendar. I wouldn't do that to them. Like, if you're going to have these cars come in and showcase the cars themselves, you got to go to a higher speed track like Watkins, Road America.
Or COTA.
Yeah, or COTA. I mean, really?
Indy.
Yeah.
It's kind of a garbage track.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't think it has the same.
I mean, it would be phenomenal at Road Atlanta. It would just be wild there.
Well, I think with some of this is you just need to combine the two series and just say this race result is points for either both championships or one, and this needs to be part of the convergence that was supposed to happen before, where like if you want WEC to come over and run with all of the IMSA guys and vice versa, you need to have it set up so that it is something you can do
like they used to do way back in the 70s and 80s, they did that.
Right. Because, like,
but,
I think if you could put together some kind of, like, Triple Crown sports car racing version of it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they, Le Mans, they already do it, and there's already that set up to do so, which is fine. But, now that, the Asian Le Mans series is doing hypercar. I don't think ELMS is doing that.
No.
But you could have one of the Asian Le Mans series races, one of the IMSA races, and one of the WEC races. Well, I mean, WEC, you would just call it Le Mans and be done with it. But
yeah.
Just have.
What do you do? Ace out all the GT cars then?
No, I think you find the track that's suitable to fit just about everyone that you can.
That only leaves, so I would say that really leaves us down to COTA.
Yeah.
In the U.S. Just from a pit lane perspective.
Right. Or you'd have to kind of do the Le Mans style of invitation.
Yeah.
Because I would think at least for, the Daytona 24, that would be one race where you want to invite Ferrari and Toyota to come over.
Oh yeah.
Just because of the namesake and the heritage to come over and be a part of the race. And yes, there's other hypercars that are manufacturers that are out there that I would love to have come over as well. But, you start with the big names because they're going to attract everyone.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I think for, IMSA is to have, have Ferrari there. Mm-hmm. I mean, ideally you'd like to have Toyota. We have Aspen. You know, we'll see what happens. You know, but it, like you said, Kristen, it was. I thought it was a great weekend. You know, just you know, for the there was a lot of great stuff to win, practice and qualifying, things like that. I think the support races were the Ford Mustangs. I didn't see if the Porsche supercars were there. Or Porsche Carrera, whatever. What is it? What is it? Porsche Cup? Here in the States, not supercars. It's supercars in Europe. But, you know, it, I mean, I know from the ones that we went to, it was always IMSA and WEC, right? So, so I mean, it, you know, so, and IMSA ran early on Saturday, WEC ran on Saturday into the night. You know, I just thought it was crazy, but anyway, so all good. We, you know, as you said, Porsche with the win, the number 50 Ferrari fought back, to take second, but third and fourth finish, Peugeot.
Yeah, yeah, really impressive finish for them.
Very impressive. Very impressive. Proof of concept with their car.
Yep.
That it can work.
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate thing, I don't exactly understand this. How did the two Astons, did they get disqualified?
No, they broke down.
Right. But they broke down and finished 17th and 18th behind the BMW.
I think it's a weird rule where the BMW finished the race running, whereas the...
Oh, it went back out?
Yeah. Whereas the...
That okay.
The Astons didn't go back, so
it crapped out. But
yeah,
anyway,
which
now prior to the Astons meeting their demise,
yes,
they were on pace
yes.
in the wet. They were. Yep. So you know, look, it was entertaining to see that, and that's what I liked about it.
Yeah,
you know that, and then also that the drivers were being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And when you listen to the feedback in the, like on the radios, back and forth, it was great to hear the drivers actually giving feedback back to the engineers instead of the engineers telling their drivers what to do. Because,
yeah.
You know, when it rains, you can throw all the computers out the book. You can't do anything. It's how the car feels. So, you know, so I thoroughly enjoyed the race from that perspective.
Yeah. No, it was great to watch. From that, like, is that actually one of the funnier comments was it Anderlauer in the Proton Porsche?
Yes.
He was given some like really good feedback. And then like literally three corners later, it was just ironic from the timing of when they
was that when he went off?
It. Yeah, he went off at the triple right hander and.
Yeah,
it's just like that. All that feedback just to bend the car.
Yeah, it was also crazy watching like some of the times. Every once in a while, someone would spin, and they'd have the car and you know the camera on the car and back, and it was like the driver's like, whoa!
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like,
yeah, trying to stay out of the way. But I thought the GT race was fine too. I kind of like the hard racing. You know, I as you said, the incident with the Toyota and the Corvette. You know, when the Toyota kind of moved them,
yeah,
he moved them onto the curb. Well, the Corvette's going to try and get back onto the track as soon as possible, and the Toyota kind of stopped up in the corner.
Yeah,
and that's when he got hit. You know, and I'm
I mean, the Toyota was also pinching the Corvette on the curb,
yeah.
And there's no on the grip curb, on a painted
there's curb. No grip. Yeah, so. Yeah, there's zero grip. I'm watching the Ford Mustang Challenge race right now, and every time these guys touch the curb, they're just like, woo!
Yeah, yeah.
But it, you know, again, it just, rain is the great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to watch. And it's actually kind of fun watching these guys slide these Mustangs around. It's kind of cool. And also at the end of the race, guys gambled on whether to stay on dries or go to slicks. And
yes.
Again, just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a great strategy to watch, especially in the GT class.
Right.
And I mean, really, like, yep. it was a matter of 5 minutes,
well,
I think.
Well, the Penske car stayed on slicks. I mean, stayed on
wets
the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so, and Ferrari fought back. Cadillac had a mixed day and then fought back to get a 6 and an 8. Mm-hmm. You know, so overall, I thought it was a very entertaining race. I think Toyota probably had the not such a good race, but you know, Alpine had a tough one. BMWs was
well. You know, I mean, one of the BMWs was.
We had the electrical issue or hybrid issue.
Yeah, right.
They were able to
correct
it. But again, very, very, very happy for Peugeot. They're actually hanging around for 2 days at COTA. They're testing today and tomorrow. getting ready for next season. But cars staying here because obviously they'll just go from Austin to Fuji.
Nice.
Which is exciting. Always good. Fuji or Suzuka. Fantastic. And I enjoy Fuji because it's the home of the track safari.
Yes. Yes. I mean, Fuji in general has always put on a good race.
Yeah.
WC.
It just unfortunately has some sketchy weather. I mean, I'll be honest with you, this is like the first time in a while it rained at COTA.
Yes.
So I'm not going to complain about that, but it was kind of nice. It wasn't like 3,000 degrees like it's been sometimes when we've been there.
Right.
But again, Fuji always had, the weather always comes into play there because of this time of year there. So mm-hmm. I'll see how that goes. Boy, these GT4 Mustangs are really sketchy.
Is it the GT4s or is it just the Dark Horse?
Whatever they are. The Dark Horse. Maybe it's the Dark Horse. These aren't the ones that run in. They're not the ones that run into the Pilot, right? Michelin Pilot, right?
It's the Mustang Challenge you're watching, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's the Dark Horse. So basically,
it's a Mustang GT that's just.
I can't remember if it has more power, but it definitely has less downforce. So.
Yeah, less downforce. More power and less skilled drivers.
Yeah, actually,
in the wet, fantastic.
Those challenge cars are also H pattern.
Oh, they're not.
Nope. Yeah.
Wow.
So
all right. I'm all in on this.
Yeah.
This is old school. This is proper.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I might if I win Powerball or Mega Millions. Powerball's smaller now. Mega Millions. Maybe I'll. Step into one of these. All right. So and GT3, sorry. I think we noted the winner was McLaren.
Mm-hmm.
Having a slight issue on the, having a technical issue on the FIA website. I don't know why. Can't pull up the GT winner. Hold on.
GT3 was the number 95 United Auto Sports car.
Yep.
And
maybe the website went down. I know my internet didn't go down.
That was with Sean Gloyle, Darren
yep.
Leung, and Marino
yeah.
Sato.
Yeah.
In that car.
And Sato was the one that had the battle with the Mustang, so it was kind of
yep.
cool.
Yep.
So, good. I mean, they got hosed at Le Mans so bad. They got pushed, punted off. So, good for them rebounding. So, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good group of drivers there.
Second place was the number 46 BMW, Rossi's car.
Yep.
Valentino.
Valley was immense in the wet.
Yes. And then...
was he with Augustus Fassus?
46. Ahmed Al Hardy and Kelvin Vanderlyn.
Oh, Kelvin Vanderlyn. Okay.
Yeah. Augusto right, Farkas
I think
is in the I have a bad
feeling the website went down. I may have killed it.
It's all right. I'm using the Wikipedia.
Unless there is could be a revolt going on in France. Who knows? All right. Because they're French.
And then all right. In third place was the number 54, Visteh of Corsa Ferrari, which had finished first on track, but because of its penalty with the Ford, that's why it got relegated.
Just got a little story here. We were talking about pick lane garages and such. Coda has confirmed that they will be building 4 new pit garages for next year.
Oh, fantastic!
Also,
wait, does it say where in the facility they're going to build it?
Hold on. I'm looking, searching.
All right, check.
Scenarios, accommodate the new Formula One teams. We have 2 more cars in F1, so there's a need to expand our pit building. So yes, it's happening for next year. That's the intention for next year. The WEC can benefit from that. They have to fit for the whatever they got to do, whatever space they need. They need X amount of space. So,
but
and last two additions, which each fit. So they want to be able to accommodate 40 cars in WEC, and the additional 2 cars or 2 or 4, whatever number of cars they need to finish. There's probably some rule that in Formula One where if you have how many cars are they gonna have next year? 22.
Yeah.
So they probably need to have like 26 boxes available. I guarantee it. There's probably some stupid Formula One rule.
Well, but if that's the case, they must have expanded in their rule set of what is needed from the racetrack, because F1's been going to COTA since 2012. And
No. But now they need. I don't know, Christian. I'm just saying this is what the guys that are COTA are saying. So
No. But that's
good on them.
But that's what I'm getting to is that we went from having 24 cars on the grid at one point.
Yeah.
To now 20. So what's the extra space that F1 has been taking up now?
I don't know. It's probably for their safety cars. Also, and I did notice this during the race. So when they shot video from the back of the front straight to the top of the front straight, did you notice something at the top of the front, top of the straightaway on the hill, behind the hill?
The giant flag?
No, besides that, there's something new there now.
No, what did they add?
There's a ginormous roller coaster.
At the top of turn one?
Yes.
Oh. All right.
It's called Coda Land, a theme park that will sit adjacent to the circuit.
Okay.
35 rides, including 4 roller coasters, one which will be built above Coda Boulevard Road. Whoa. Be entertaining.
All right.
Might have to go.
Yeah.
All right. It's going to be like, what's that? Abu Dhabi? No, is it Abu Dhabi? Dubai? Do they have Ferrari World?
Yeah. There's.
We're going to have. The tower is. The top of the tower is stacked for the Mustang Challenge race. That's
awesome. Well, the.
That is the best place to watch a race. I have to admit that.
The Nürburgring. At the start-finish straight there, they have a roller coaster.
Yeah, there's a roller coaster. Yeah, they have a amusement park too, right there.
Suzuka, I think there is also
has amusement park.
Amusement
yes.
park as well. So
yes, the rest of Nürburgring is an amusement park when you're on the track and off the track.
Yep.
So, well, off the track, it's more of a circus.
Yeah.
But anyways, all right. Well, that's cool to know. Coda Land, exciting. Glad it kind of popped on that by accident.
Yeah.
All right. So off we go. All right, on to Italy, to Monza, to the Temple of Speed. Welcome back, Max Verstappen.
Yeah. just when you think it's over. It's
safe
not.
To go back in the water, it's not.
Mm-mm.
to quote Max, lovely. And McLaren, not such a good day.
Well, I mean,
despite finishing second and third, not such a good day. They are now the butt of all memes in the Formula One world. They have now surpassed Ferrari. It's just,
well, at least for this weekend.
This weekend, but it's pretty much everything we said it's been. So, anyways, can't say that Max dominated all weekend, but when
not all
the money came down. Nope. Yeah, but when you had to put the big boy pants on, mm-hmm. Max put them on.
Yep.
Took pole, and then drove away. A flawless race. Yeah. Lando nailed the start, but then Lando drove off the track and then came back on. You know, got Max. Max kind of cut the chicane. Fortunately, I think Red Bull made the right decision. Once it said it was going under investigation, it was like, all right, Max, just give it back. He gave it back. Because you know what? Max knew he was going to pass him.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, lap later, zing, bye, see you.
Yeah.
Down the road, never to be seen again. 19 seconds ahead of Lando.
Well, and just to get back to that lap one, I actually thought Max did like self-penalize himself a little bit because by the next chicane, Lando had caught up to Max. So,
yeah.
In my eyes, he gave the time up.
He gave the time back, correct? So, I get it. Their ruling was they felt that Lando was ahead. I think, secondly, I think had Lando just had any stones and passed Max on the first lap,
right?
I mean, on the straightaway, that, and then, okay, fine, he took the position. It would have never come back, and then Max would have passed him. But, anyways, Red Bull, hats off to Red Bull, hats off to Max, did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Max waited one or two laps, got by, and like, see you later.
yeah.
You know, and yep. From then it was checkout, bye-bye. Max ran the race, the fastest Formula One race in history. One hour and 13 minutes.
Also, he had the fastest qualifying lap ever. Lap, as well.
Yes. Yep. And, hey, Stefano Domenicali. You and your idea of making races shorter. Oh, this guy is an idiot. Oh, I don't know how much more we got to have to put up with him.
Yeah, I mean.
Anyways, we'll get to that. The rest of the race was. I mean, I don't like. Lewis fought back from the pit. You know, from down, did great job.
Yep.
Charles did well, but again, Ferrari's just like out to lunch.
I mean,
you know,
yeah, but at least with this race, you know, Leclerc was right there with the McLarens because it wasn't like he was a mile off.
Yeah,
the two McLarens at the end of the race, like he was there the entire time, just a couple of seconds back.
So the reason for Max is great. You know, whatever. Max kind of went into it a little bit from what I understand. You know, they had a bunch of engineering meetings post, Zandvoort, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about what they were going to do going into this race. And Mekies, who's a kind of an engineering type, they kind of suggested a couple things. And the thought was to go to a low downforce swing. And, you know, they kind of monkeyed around with what, you know, obviously on simulations as to what one they might want to use. They came up on it, put it on both cars, and Yuki was like nowhere near it. Didn't want to go near it.
Mm-hmm.
Car was too sketchy. Max gets out of the car and it's like, oh, the car's fine.
Yeah.
So essentially that's where they went. And, you know, they kind of threw the dice and went that way and bam, you know, it worked. Now, there's a couple more tracks where it could work again. So, Baku, one.
Yep.
You know, I'm not saying Max is going to dominate every other race. He's not. But he's got an opportunity here to grab a couple more race wins if this is, like, if they found something here with the car in this kind of configuration. So, good on them.
Mm-hmm.
McLaren, as we've noted throughout the year, sort out what they're doing. To win the championship, like a bunch of fools.
Yeah, I mean, it's really helping them that they've designed a rocket of a car.
Right.
Because, man, if their car was, if the performance of their car was the same as Max and Red Bull. I know Max has snuck in a couple races and taken some wins, but like I'm talking consistently, like every other race, it's back and forth kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the case, I don't think McLaren would win the championship.
Right.
And it's at a point where well, I guess let's just recap the scenario of what happened just to clarify. Lando gets beats Piastri in qualifying, is ahead of Piastri the entire race. They're pretty much running formation, nose to tail the entire time. No real move is made on by Piastri at all during the race, or by Piastri at all on Lando during the race.
Yep. Which up until a certain point, which is all fair and good.
Yes, right, totally fine.
Yep.
And then they come around to the pit stops that they need to do, and Piastri comes
in. They pit Lando first.
No, they pit Piastri.
He's the car
first.
Behind. Yep.
Yeah, Piastri's first.
I'm sorry, Piastri first
because he's the car behind, and they're just trying to stay ahead of Leclerc. The intention for both of these guys is that they're not trying to. The team is trying to not let Piastri have an advantage over Lando, but just be in front of Leclerc. So which
and then,
is fine. Like, it makes sense. But then Piastri's pits up goes fine. He gets out ahead of Leclerc, no problem. Next up is Lando. He comes into the pit box, and they're slow on one of the tires.
And they muff the pit stop. Yep.
Lando's still able to come out ahead of Leclerc, but not Piastri, which then they go on a couple laps, and then finally the message comes over the radio to Oscar to tell him to let Lando back through, that it wasn't his fault that he lost the position, it was the team's fault, and the team wants to correct it on track. And then they're free to race. Piastri said his bit. That was fine.
Yep.
The situation was relayed to Max over his radio, and he relayed a message, which was hilarious.
which was hilarious in the sense that we only told Max that Lando had got by Oscar, and then Max goes, "Oh, why? Because Lando muffed his pit stop? He knew that Piastri got by him. That's the worst part."
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's he? He's like dawdling around, looking at the like scoreboards on the fastest track in the world.
Yeah,
it's like
I know. It's
and then GP goes, and they just let it go. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, Max.
Unreal.
The position Max is in, where he's not the one, he's not in a position fighting for the world championship right now. He is mathematically, but like he knows it's going to take a miracle
it's gonna
for
take
him to
some extraordinary circumstances. Yeah.
So, but he's just the one consistently up there.
He's like
with the two McLarens in the interviews, and Max is just getting to sit there and have a laugh the entire time. And it's funny watching it because
he knows how uncomfortable it is with those other two. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because like they went into the cool down room, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, Max gets in there, like Max comes in after those two and Lando and Oscar are kind of like, you know, it's kind of forced fun, you know? and watching Max makes a couple comments. Didn't say anything about the pit stop, anything like that. Then he looks at the wall.
Yeah.
On there. He's like, oh, how did my name get up there? Oh, it was beautiful. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I just, oh, God.
But, God love him. Anyway. I mean, getting back to the McLaren situation at hand. If this is truly your intent of how you want these guys to race each other, then if it is about being fair from the team point of view to these guys, and you know if the pit stops are supposed to be null and void of whatever else happens on the track, then that message across to Piastri needs to come ASAP, because you have to give Piastri as much time as possible to try and get by Lando, not screw him over and make him wait two laps.
But my other point on this whole thing is the championship leader by a significant margin, but at this point of the season, gets all the favor.
Except
in the Zach Brown era at McLaren.
Well, and the other bit with this too is Lando was asked if he wanted to come in to the pits first, and he was like, no, box the other car.
Yeah, which is fine. So they gave the leader, they gave their lead car the opportunity to make the decision. All good.
Right, but
he wanted to go second.
Right, but to my point, for that, you chose which pit stop you wanted to have.
So
you could have came in and you don't know when your guys are going to screw up, but that's a part of racing. Like Oscar had said over the radio, like that's it just happens. So
yeah.
I mean, Lando was very lucky that it wasn't worse either.
Yeah.
So
because if it let's just say it turned into like a 30-second stop, if they tried to manipulate it from 30 seconds back, ugh.
Well, I think at that point it would have been much harsher to make it would have been much harder to make that call if Leclerc got between the two of them.
Right. So
I mean, at that point, you almost wish Leclerc did get in between the two of them.
Yeah.
Because it would have been really funny to watch how that played out.
How they were going to get that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It is comical. I really feel for Oscar because I really think they're putting the screws to him. Was this a makeup? Were they trying to make up for Lando getting his ass, you know, having the car break down? Seriously.
I also am totally on Piastri's side of all this stuff.
Yeah, me too.
This whole season, really. I mean, because it really does seem like Lando is getting the favoritism, but Oscar seems to be the only one that really wants to win the championship and is not going to let this BS.
Yeah,
take over.
Right, and hold him back. He's just clearly demonstrating on track. His on track performance has been amazing.
Yeah,
you know it's been for being on the team with the dominant car, he's doing exactly what he should be doing.
Right, and I think the mental side of this and how to manage the whole situation is definitely coming from Mark Webber.
And
I mean, just hearing the stories between
Webber and Vettel
from, you know, the two of them, some other team personnel, of how everything was in the relationship, and then also even just watching everything unfold on TV too, it's like you can see how easily you can get into that position. I'm glad Oscar's standing up for himself. Because this is probably the bit that Mark had learned over time, where he should have spoken up sooner and made it aware about where you wanted to stand within the team. But I mean, live and learn with some things. And you know, thankfully with this, it's a tough situation to manage all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you, I guess at the end of the day, as long as they have expectations set between the two drivers and both drivers can agree mm-hmm. on whatever it is that seems fair to the two of them, then go at it and nothing should be questioned over the radio.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right, let's just take a quick look at the driver standings. Nothing changed from this last week to this week. You know?
In terms of but, positions.
Yeah. I mean, the point is
points, yeah.
You know, seven, Oscar's still 31 points ahead. You know, I think Oscar was content. You know, he was going to hang around in third, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, which was fine. But I think what, you know, what's kind of put everyone's a bug in the ear is just how this got manipulated. So, you know, I think had that not happened and Oscar finished third, it would have been fine. You know, I don't know. Maybe they would have raced. I don't know. But, anyways, still 31 points. Max is in third. He's got a 36-point lead on Russell, and he's 63 points behind Lando. So I don't know. I doubt he's going to catch him. And then we got the Ferrari boys. Alex Albon somehow is still in seventh with Williams, followed by Kimi Antonelli, and then Ingzak Haija is ninth,
mm-hmm.
With the Hulk, 10th. Somehow, yeah. Lance Stroll is actually ahead of Fernando Alonso. I have no idea.
It's the first start of the season.
Absolutely amazing.
Season.
Yeah. All right. And then Yuki is 19th. Anyways. All right.
Let me back that up. The first two races, Lance had finished 6th and 9th, and of the last five races, he has 3 7th-place finishes.
I know.
And, I mean, really, last week
I have no idea how that happened.
Was very good.
From the pit lane.
Yeah, from the pit. Give credit where credit's due. He had a hell of a race last week.
Yeah, 100%.
So, Monza, completely different track, different story. So, not his weekend, but yeah. I mean, next up is Baku, a track he has a podium at. Can't believe I'm saying that, but yeah.
Are we 2 weeks out from that?
Yes. Yeah. We get a week off.
Go
to Baku, and then another week off. Go to Singapore.
Yep.
And then 2 weeks off. And then go to Kota, Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean we're getting. Where'd he go? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 races left. So.
Yeah, right. Well,
two thirds of the way through the season. Championship is by no means over. It's definitely either one of the McLaren drivers, unless something from this weekend is now going to vault Verstappen up to the top, and they're just going to sweep the rest of the season from here on out. Even if they do that, they would need something to go horrendously wrong with McLaren or Ferrari and or Mercedes get their stuff together and start putting gaps in between Red Bull and McLaren that way. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out and what this Monza incident will mean with the championship at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So,
like you said, should be entertaining.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's Let's move to some news that broke after, of course, after we recorded last week.
Yeah.
Big changes in IndyCar. First off, Regis Vitek is... Oh, I think we actually talked about this.
Well, we alluded to some stuff we didn't...
yeah.
Nothing was Regis, confirmed.
Vitek's leaving Dale Coyne and going to... we believe it's AJ. And the reason for that is because of the news that broke on Wednesday after we recorded early that Will Power is leaving Team Penske and going to Andretti Global. Is that what they are?
Yeah.
The TRT, whatever. Anyways. And he is taking Colton Herter's seat. Because Colton Herter has been named a test driver for Cadillac. And the assumption is that TWG, Towers Worldwide Group, which runs the Cadillac team, or is the entrant, is going to place Colton in Formula 2 to help get the super license points necessary to go to Formula 1. So my assumption is this. If he goes there, it's going to be a two-year program in F2. Regardless of whether he gets the super license points in year one, basically to get track time, then get, you know, he'll have probably obviously do some FP1 testing for the team next year, and probably FP1 in year two, and then position himself for 2027 because both Bottas and Checo are only on two-year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on this whole thing. We do not know who, well, we can speculate who's taking the seat at Penske. We believe it's to be Malukas. I wish they would take VK, but it's Malukas. And we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, it's definitely silly season is in full swing for IndyCar. Yeah.
The other thing that's going on is we may have seen the last of Prema in IndyCar.
Yeah.
because the backing for that is now coming into question. Which it'll impact a couple of things. Prema itself is fine, but where the most of the money was coming from is not. So they will have to develop commercial partners or go buy, you know, ride buyers, because the backer is a partner in Prema, who brings a good chunk of money, is also the person who's responsible for the Iron Dames, not Iron Lynx, but the Iron Dames team, and they're at risk right now. So, I think spent a little too much money. We got ahead of ourselves, like everyone does in racing. So we shall see what happens there. Also, on the driver front, there's speculation that before this other news broke, that Schwartzman was headed back somewhere else, back to Europe. I don't know what he's going to be doing. No clue. I mean, sports cars maybe, but I have no clue. But big news is Callum Ilott is leaving to go replace Jenson Button at Cadillac on Team Jota.
Yeah, that's
and
that's nice to hear. I wish he was still in IndyCar, but
yeah, I do too. I kind of hope that Prema sticks around, but it is.
Yeah,
they went in the deep end here.
Yep.
You know, big facility. It's like, you know. It makes what Juncos does seem legit because, I mean, those guys, you know, are a small team doing in a Dale Coyne team, you know, it's like you can do it. You just don't need to make a splash every 5 minutes. So
no.
I think a lot of teams that come into IndyCar need to take that model and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say? Grosjean is lurking around, so could be back in IndyCar next year. Possibly a coin.
All right.
Hasn't been anything else, hasn't been confirmed there. And then it's just really seeing where VK is going to end up. I don't know. Really don't know. We don't know what's going on at Letterman in that sense of whether DeFrancesco is back. Assuming Graham's going to be back for another season. Don't know. He may retire. So lots going on there. So we shall see.
Yeah. Have you seen anything more on? I saw one rumor being connecting Prema and with Andretti, and
well, I saw
how it might make everything work.
Prema is, well, I don't know so much on the IndyCar side. Possibly, good point, because Prema was Chris Medland from Racer and ESPN and a few other places, F1 TV, has sourced out that every team in the F2 paddock was contacted about possibly running Herta.
Mm-hmm.
What I did find out from a podcast that Chris did with Marshall Pruitt, that in Formula 2, it's really, even though it's spec cars, spec engines, spec tires, some of the engines are kind of, not that the teams are teams can't touch them, but some of the engines are kind of quirky in the sense that some are a little bit more, got more oomph than the others. And just happens to be, it's in specs, but it's just got a little more grunt. But also some of the teams have better engineers, and more experienced crew guys, things like that. That makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I have to think that, Cadillac's probably trying to find the best team that has that fit. Now, Premier has been, stalwart. They did have an issue 2 years ago with the car. They couldn't get their hands on it, get to come to grips with it. So, but they seem to have come back this year fine. So we'll see what happens. Premier has also been linked to Juncos for a hookup there.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of combining the two teams, but who knows?
Yeah, we'll
see what happens.
I mean, the connection with Prema and Andretti and Cadillac was just that.
Yeah, kind of that makes a little more sense.
Would take a car kind of deal and help Prema financially, and then in return, Colton would get a
Colton,
seat,
right,
an F2 ride. So I just
a little B2B there. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
So we shall see.
Just to clarify, all rumors on that last end there. That's none of that is confirmed.
Pure speculation.
Yeah.
Pure speculation. We'll see what happens. Just real quick on the IMSA front, Nico Mueller will be joining JDC Miller for the final two rounds in their Porsche. A blast from the past in IMSA and AMS. Intersport Racing, the field, not Ted Field, but John Field, and possibly his son Clint will be back in IMSA in an LMP2 car.
All right.
Next year. Huh. Good for them. Welcome back. Left under kind of crazy circumstances. Well, not uncommon in sports cars these days, or in the world of sports car racing.
Yeah.
A little bit of financial issues.
I saw, is it Proton? They're not going to be running in Indy?
They're not running Indy because of crash damage from Laguna. But they'll be at
Petite.
Okay. Yes.
How long ago was Laguna?
I don't know.
I thought that was a while ago.
I don't know. Anyways, got two more races with Lamborghini.
Yep.
Who knows? They could win.
They might.
They might. Trying to think.
I think BMW had come out and said that they still intend to be racing in IMSA next year.
Yeah.
Obviously, with who, that's still undetermined, but
it's
WRL.
Yeah. WRT.
All right. All right.
So this was. All right, so this will be our closing story. And we go back to Max again. Guy wins Monza.
Yeah. Right?
Today.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Today they did a tire test.
Who did the tire test?
They had a tire test.
I'm sorry, who did?
Tires, the Pirelli tires.
Oh, okay.
Formula. So, but Max stuck around to do the tire testing. Not just in the Red Bull, but also in the V carb.
Oh. Oh. That's an interesting bit of news.
Yep. That was. I'm sorry. That was yesterday. Sorry. That was yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
Tuesday. So he wraps that up. Today, Kurzweil, known as Franz Hermann, rocked up to the Nürburgring for an open test in his GT3 car.
Yep.
Just getting some laps in because on Thursday, practice starts for the doubleheader at the VLN this weekend. One Max Verstappen will be racing in both races. Speculation is that he'll do one race on Saturday, one race on Sunday. However, there is a rumor flying that he may actually drive one car. He might do two races each day, running in two cars. Technically, he's supposed to run the GT4 car, get his license.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's going to be this kind of like, yeah, he can go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's doing this. So he's pretty much racing all this is like, he is like freaking Kyle Larson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he's been doing all this crap all week. And in between, I'm sure he's been on iRacing all week too. Just because. And probably I doubt he did any sim work, but he probably, you know, did a debrief. And then, you know, he's going to rock up in Baku next week.
Yeah, I don't see the problem with this.
I have no problem with it either.
So,
because I know a certain driver who's in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, is probably applauding this. Because Mario would do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
God, love this kid. Love him.
Yeah.
Love him. Yeah. Yeah. He'll probably win both classes too.
I wouldn't expect anything less if he...
It's frighteningly fast in the GT3 car.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I mean, like, am I surprised? No. Is it just the timing of how quickly he's gotten up to pace? I mean, I guess not either with all the stories you hear about
right
people being impressed with how quickly he can just get up to speed. So
if he gets the license this week, there's like another race at the that happens on a non F1 weekend.
Yep.
I mean, the place is going to be like mobbed if he shows up.
But that's good. Like,
right. Oh yeah. No, it's 100%.
This is not a bad thing. This is a good problem.
The frightening thing is how fast he is in these cars.
Right, but that's all the more interesting, too.
And then just one last tidbit. Now, I saw this as a throwaway thing. there was a race. It was the Watkins Glen weekend when Zilich, you know, stupidly fell out of the car. This is before the weekend. So they did this thing and they were kind of doing, last weekend he was in Austria at the, whatever that thing is, the Red Bull hangar, whatever thing, mm-hmm. where they bring out the planes, the cars, the MotoGP bikes and stuff. And they showed this joking line that, you know, like they were all lined up and Max comes strutting down. He sees them. He goes over and shakes his hand. He goes, hey, how you doing? And, you know, Vasily said, good. He says, you going to jump in? And Max kind of turned around and says, I'd love to.
Yeah.
I saw this video at Trackhouse. Our boy Justin Marks, not ruling it out. Can you see him? They're on a road course. They're on the road course. And him and SVG get into it? It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if it's on a road course, I mean, it's... I know SVG's impressive on a road course, but man, that would be...
Yeah, no, it'd be awesome. Zilich and him are dead even anyways. It's right. Awesome. No, but Max just thought it would be hilarious.
Yeah.
They should just... I would load it up and run... two cars, because I would just Raikkonen in to come back and run with them just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
But I think what Trackhouse should do, because Penske's not... What do they run? Do they run Fords or do they run
Penske's?
Trackhouse running. What's Trackhouse running? Are they running Chevys? I think they run Chevys.
Hold on, let me check. Anyways, continue. Checking.
Anyways, I'm just saying, like, they should just, like, because WeatherTech will throw the money in. I mean, they don't care. And just bring McLaughlin in and have him run with SVG, and they can just reignite their whole, you know, supercar fiascos. Mm. Which would be fantastic.
Yeah, Trackhouse is Chevys.
Chevys. They won't do it they won't do it because Penske runs Fords in NASCAR, so you can't have, there's no way they're going to put a Penske driver in a Chevy. Even though they drive a Chevy motor in IndyCar.
Yeah. I mean, the...
Justin goes, we seriously asked. He said that. I was like, Jesus.
I mean,
they asked him, was Connor just... They said this whole thing about Connor. And he goes, well, I said to Connor that Justin said... I have reached out to Max. Mm-hmm. Because Max has said that he'd like to drive anything. Now, and Max, I don't think, you know, they're like, look, it'll be a road course, okay? Because, you know, what Project 91 does. They'll run whatever, mm-hmm. you know? Whatever the driver wants to do, they'll run. And then apparently that conversation happened before... Connor knew about it when he saw him, and that's why he said, I heard you're going to cut. Are you coming to do this? And he said, yeah. And then Max kind of, maybe. Mm-hmm. Freaking beautiful.
Yeah. And
if they only could get Max to do an IndyCar on a road course, like at Road America, it'd be fantastic.
I think he would be up for doing something like that, because I mean, why not? And also, have him do a track that is exciting. You know,
he has no interest in doing an oval, which is fine. That's fine. That's a mm-hmm. that's a comfort thing. I don't care about that. But you know, the guy also says, yeah, I want to go to Daytona. I want to win the 24-hour races.
Right. Well, it wasn't just Daytona. He like listed off.
Oh, I know. He ripped them all off. You know,
a bunch of other.
I think the Nürburgring 24 is going to be on his thing next year.
Yeah. Well, actually, let's do this right now. It's. I'm seeing the 16th and 17th of May. which is, come on, that's not helping us. That is a free weekend. No conference in F1.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it'd be in between Miami and Montreal.
Excellent.
So.
Excellent. Got nothing to do.
Nope, nothing to do.
Nothing to do. Nothing to see here.
All right. Well, we should probably call it on that.
Yep.
Hopefully.
We'll send it here.
Obviously, I mean, Max is keen to go run all this stuff. It's just a matter of when it happens. I think everyone's psyched for it.
Very excited about it. So, anyway, so I will cast my eye towards YouTube and the VLN streaming this weekend, mm-hmm. and try and catch some of young Max or Fritz Spinner. It's Herman, Ron Herman, whatever he is.
Yeah, we also got NASCAR's at Bristol, like we said earlier.
Yep.
Some other racing this weekend. Supercars are at the Bend, and MotoGP is in Misano.
Oh, nice. All right, so, I will catch that on Sunday.
Yeah.
Anyways, and on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.